In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I go to the 12th chapter of Luke. Jesus is in control. The Holy Spirit is in control. And so he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, or about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, and yet God feeds them all. Are you not more important than ravens? The Lord Jesus shed his blood for you. Are you not more important than birds? You have to make a decision today. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. Why? Because I am a child of the Most High God. And yet God feeds them all. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Infinite value. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? No, as a matter of fact, it can take away from your life. If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, as small thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" God's got you in control. God's got you in the palm of his hands. Hey, God's got you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about your bills. Be a tither and see God opening windows. And do not keep striving for what you are to eat or what you are to drink. And do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after these things. And your Father knows you need them. God knows you need them. Clothes and food. God knows that. It doesn't mean that you don't have to work. It means you have to work, but God knows that. And he wants to provide for you. But worrying is useless. Whenever I start worrying, I say I'm an atheist, because I have a God who cares about me. I have a God who is my Father. You have a God who's your Father. You have a God who shed his blood for you, Jesus. And said, "Strive after his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do you know what? It is the good pleasure of God the Father to give you the kingdom. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves and do not wear out an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure today? Is your treasure at the cross? Is your treasure in the crucified, risen Lord? Where's your treasure today? I'm going to tell you, everything goes. Everything is like sand sifting through my hands. Where's your treasure today? I pray my treasure is in Jesus Christ and in his promises. Oh yes, I know I have the plans for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me with all of your heart, you're going to find me with you, says the Lord. I go to the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 49. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Ah, Jesus comes to bring fire. Fire. I have a baptism on the cross, which I must be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Jesus brings division. Why? Because people don't want to hear about Jesus. So if you love Jesus and you say, I love Jesus, go to have a beauty parlor and talk about Jesus. They'll just shut you up. They'll say you're a Jesus freak. No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. The two will be for Jesus, the three is against Jesus in the same house. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oh, do you not know this? You cannot talk about Jesus outwardly, because people will say you're a Jesus freak. They don't want to hear it. Jesus causes this division. You want to know why? Because Jesus lets people know subconsciously that if you choose him, you've got to give him your life. Oh, yes. People don't want to give Jesus their life. Do you? I have no life but Jesus. I have no life but Jesus. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there's going to be a scorching heat. And so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearances on earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The present time that Jesus has come. In other words, they have no spiritual insight. I tell you, we need to be faithful, for the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. We need to be faithful. We need to be praying, especially for our country and for our president. We need to be praying because, you see, North Korea wants to bomb us. And Iran wants to bomb us. I tell you, can you not read the signs of the times? How much we need Jesus. How much we are not called to worry. How much we are to give our life to him. How much we must say, Lord, take everything. Everything is yours. All that I have is a gift. And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Thus, when you go with your accuser before the magistrate on the way, make an effort to settle the case. Settle the case on the way, or you may be dragged before the judge, and the judge hands you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. Oh, yes. On the way, make an effort to settle the case. Settle the case, whatever the case is, but do not compromise with Jesus. Do not compromise with Jesus. I tell you, I've been tempted so many times to compromise with Jesus. I had a whole lot of friends, and I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they didn't understand it. And I remember when I was in the seminary, there was going to be a party, a summer party and barbecue of all the people that went to the Seneca and were leaders. And I remember going, and I remember feeling like an extra left foot. I didn't fit in with my friends. And I went to the lavatory, and the devil said, it's going to be like this for the rest of your life. I said, Jesus, I choose you today. I choose you today. You are the one I choose today. I give you my life. And I went home that day. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than other Galileans?" Jesus says, "No. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Repentance. That's why we have the sacrament of penance. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. I don't understand that people don't come to confession anymore. I think everyone thinks that they're saints. But you see how necessary it is for us to repent. How necessary it is for us to turn away from our sins and turn toward Christ. How necessary. Then he told them a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came looking for fruit and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He, in reply, the gardener said, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you cut it down." I tell you, we were created to bear fruit. Yes, because we are part of the vine, we are the branches, and it is God's will that we produce fruit. If God cannot trust us with money, how can he trust us with people? You see, if God cannot trust us with money, how can he trust us with people? Money is the least thing that he can trust us with, and yet we worry about our money. We don't want to be too generous. We just throw a dollar in the box. Dollar? A dollar means nothing. A dollar means you can't even buy a cup of coffee anymore. It is so important that we begin to give one-tenth of our stuff to the Lord, a tenth of our money to the Lord. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman who had a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands upon her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days which work ought to be done. Those days should you have work. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom the devil Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. They should have had a party. This lady is no longer bent over. This lady is standing up straight. Oh yeah, they should have had a party. But you see, they were legalistic. I tell you today, it's all about grace. And when we leave grace, we have to put something in its place. And that's legalism. And I'm going to tell you, legalism kills. What must I do in order to commit a mortal sin? How do I kiss my girlfriend? Where is the mortal sin? Listen, that's legalism. That's legalism. You treat your girlfriend like a princess if you're going to marry her, or even if you're not going to marry her. You treat her like a princess. And he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. The mustard seed is so small, but great things happen from a small mustard seed. Oh, when the kingdom of God comes, it starts off small, but great things happen as we continue to place our faith in Jesus Christ. And again he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. Not very much yeast makes the dough leavened. In other words, the kingdom of God starts off small, but it wants to encompass our whole life, our whole body, our whole soul, our whole community. Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because no prophet suffers except in Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. When once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, you begin to stand outside and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then in reply he will say to you, I do not know you, and I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrown out. Then people will come from the east and the west, the Gentiles, from the north and the south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some who are last will be first, the Gentiles, and some who are first will be last, the Jewish people. Jesus is the narrow gate. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. You might say, that's unfair, and I always give the example. There is only one way to get to Holy Rosary, and that's the street that we take. And you know what? If you don't take that street, you know what happens? You never get to Holy Rosary. It's as easy as that. Let's continue. The lament over Jerusalem. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, go and tell that fox Herod for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. I just remember when I was in Jerusalem, my mother died, and I could only think of that scripture. It is impossible for a prophet to be killed or to be punished or to be hurt outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Are you under the wings of the Master? And you would not come. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, the Lord so wants to take us under his arms. And you know what? We say, well, we're too busy. Oh, we're not worthy. He wants to take us under his arms as a chicken takes her little chicks under her wings. And the Jews would not come. The Jewish people would not come. I continue. On the 14th chapter, on one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. This is terrible. You see, they're watching Jesus closely. Why? They want to see if they can find something in him that is not of God, does not go with the law. Just then, in front of them, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. They were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. They were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into the well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. No, they were not going to reply. They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They just want to seize Jesus for healing people on the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down in the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." Then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I tell you, we just need to be ourselves to be humbled. None of us can stand in the presence of God without bowing our heart and our head and our knees to Him. We are but dust in the presence of God. But He loves us. He shed His blood for us. He is the Lord of glory. So He said also to the one who had invited Him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, do not invite your brothers, do not invite your relatives, do not invite your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." I tell you, we do that every Sunday. I have dinner for people that many people have no place else to go. And you know, I know they're not going to invite me back. I do this out of the love of God, and also because I don't want to eat alone. Who wants to eat alone after you celebrate Mass? Not me. Okay, I want to invite you. Charismatic Renewal Services in Boston, Congress 2017, the Golden Jubilee of the Charismatic Renewal, 50 years in the Catholic Church. For more information, it's the 8th and 9th of September. Dial 781-333-5308, 781-333-5308. 5308. I do need to hear from you also so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or go to inseason.net and then go to PayPal and leave a gift by the grace of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless you today, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.